morning. If you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus. This morning we'll be looking at some prayers of Moses today. We've been studying the life of Israelites, and in particular the leadership of Moses. I think there's some good things for us to learn from looking at some of his prayers. Now, you know, as Christians, there are certain things that we should habitually do. We should obviously, come together on the first day of the week, come to Bible class and worship and be here when we can. And we ought to participate in things that we can do together as Christians and look for opportunities to spread the gospel and, spend time in our in the time that we have personally with the Word of God and reading it and trying to become more familiar with it. One of the things that people seem to struggle with from time to time is prayer. And how much time should they pray, or do they devote any prayer time at all in their life? And it's something that we should certainly take advantage of. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. Obviously, that doesn't mean that's the only thing that we ever do is pray. But what that means is that we have a lifestyle that is consistent with somebody who prays constantly. That is a habitual thing. It's something that we do on a regular basis. So when we look at prayers in the Bible, certainly I think a couple of instances here in the life of Moses point to some successful prayers that he prayed on behalf of the children of Israel. And it really centers around two different events in Exodus chapter 32 and in Numbers chapter 14. These two events are the golden calf and the refusal that the children of Israel refused to enter the promised land or didn't have enough faith to enter into the land. So really, both of these events center around the same issue, and it's the unbelief or the faithlessness of the children of Israel. And what happened in both of these cases is that God's anger was kindled against them, and he said, I'm going to destroy this people, and I'm going to make the seed of Moses a great people. And so in both of these cases, it's Moses who interceded on behalf of the children of Israel. And it says that the Lord's mind was changed about what he would do because of Moses' intercession. So you look at that and say, well, that's a pretty successful prayer. When Moses does that, how can we pray like that if we want our prayers to be something that will be very helpful to us? So we want to look at the lifestyle of Moses and how it was that he prayed. First of all, Moses was a man who prayed very humbly. And that's consistent with what we know about the life of Moses, because he was said to be a very meek man or a very humble man. Before we move on any further, I would like to read for you in Exodus chapter 32, verses 11 through 13. Exodus 32, 11 through 13. But Moses implored the Lord his God, said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with a great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say with evil intent, did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. Also, skipping a few verses to verse 31 of the same chapter, it says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, Alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They have made themselves gods of gold, but now if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. So I want you to remember that prayer and that request that Moses had here for the Lord. Also, in Numbers chapter 14, Numbers chapter 14, starting in verse 13, as Moses said to the Lord, Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you have brought up the people in your might from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land, they have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, it is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give to them, that he has killed them in the wilderness. And now, please let the power of the Lord be as great as you have promised, saying, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. So on these two different occasions, I want you to think about that as we go through this lesson, how Moses interceded on behalf of the children of Israel. And so when he prays meekly or humbly. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says that Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. And so that's quite a statement, that he was considered the most humble man on earth. And that humility is really seen in these prayers. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 helps us define what humility is. And Paul says it's doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also to the interest of others. It's not very hard for people to look out for their own interest. They don't have to be told to do that usually. But looking out for the interest of others is a different story. So humility means putting aside your selfishness and Paul says, and put away empty conceit and view others more important than yourself. So that's the kind of attitude that Moses had. And you can see that in these two prayers that we just read in Exodus 32 and Numbers 14, where he's imploring with God to have mercy upon the people. None of these requests that Moses made was to further the agenda of Moses. In fact, it did the exact opposite. God's initial plan, as we read in Exodus 32, was to destroy Israel and make a greater and mightier nation out of Moses. That's what he said that he would do. So you think about that situation. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe it's at work or some other venue where you're up for a promotion, or there's somebody else who is on the firing line because of something that they've done? And so because of mistakes that they've made, you start to see, well, this is an opportunity for me. This is an opportunity for me to be promoted, or for me to gather some attention or something that would be beneficial to me because of what somebody else has done in error. And many times people have that kind of attitude. They look at the misfortune of others as an opportunity for them to better themselves. And here, God said, well, you know, these people are wicked. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Well, a person that is not humble might see that as a great thing. Well, you know, what a great feather in my cap, and what a great thing for me, an opportunity for me. But he didn't capitalize on that to forge his own place in history, but he used his prayer to further the interest of the Israelites. And also, we see that he has some other things in mind too, as we look throughout this lesson. But he was one that prayed humbly. He was also one that he prayed for others more than himself, and that really fits hand in hand with talking about being humble. After Moses dealt with the golden calf in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 30, he says, I am going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make an atonement for your sin. And so that's his reaction to what the children of Israel do in making the golden calf and worshiping it. And of course, that was something that Moses was very angry to see. But his reaction is amazing, that he didn't just say, well, you know, God forgive their sin, he also goes to God and says, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out from your book which you have written. So Moses is saying, I want to take responsibility. And we understand that that's really not possible. But we see Moses being a type of Christ. That Moses does some things that are very much like what Jesus Christ did for us in interceding for us on the cross. Moses said, I want to take their place. If you will forgive them, that's good. But if you can't forgive them, well, you take me instead, is what he's saying. Take me instead. And so he's concerned about them. And that is a great thing. Blot me out from your book which you have written. So you just consider the magnitude of that he would rather be blotted out for Israel's sin than Israel to be blotted out for it. And that's really hard, to understand. Because many times people will often get upset that somebody's getting away with something, and they'll see others that participate in sin and maybe they don't get punished, and they're upset that person doesn't get punished. A lot of times people want others to suffer for what it is that they've done wrong. And here we've got the exact opposite of this. Moses is not wanting them to be punished for what it is that they've done. He wants them to be forgiven. He wants to take their place. He's praying that God would let him be the sacrifice for their forgiveness. And so you also want to keep in mind the things that Moses is saying here and the reasons that he's doing it. He says that these are people that have made Moses angry on other occasions. He was so angry that he cast down the tablets of the law that God gave him. He broke them in the sight of the people. The people at different times were not happy with Moses. Yet, these are people that Moses is continuing to pray for. And if you look in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 10, it says, now therefore let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them in order that I make a great nation of you. And so this is the kind of thing that Moses is dealing with. He's dealing with these people that are continuing to cause God's anger to be kindled against them. But he wants to be the sacrifice for them. That's real humility. We also see that Moses prayed for not his own will, but for God's will to be done. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 12, Moses brings up this point. He says, why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. This demonstrates really the heart of Moses' humility. He's not concerned about himself. He's also concerned about his brethren, but he's also concerned about God's glory and not his own. He's saying, what will the pagan nations say if the people of Israel die on their way from Egypt to Canaan? They would assume that Jehovah was unable to do what it was that he said that he would do. That's the point that Moses is making. And it's really hard to believe that God would have not already thought about what foreign nations would think. And so this, I believe that this is more about Moses bending his will to God's will. And we see that most of the time in Moses' life, that he's not concerned about his glory. He's concerned about God's glory. And that's a great thing that we see in this request of Moses. The problem that a lot of people have is that they view prayer as a means by which they can bend God to their will. I know what I want, and I want to get God to bend himself to me. But that's really not the point. Prayer should be something to help bend ourselves to God's will. And, you know, in the past, I was talking to someone who said that they were having a hard time with their prayer because they were being very rebellious in the way that they were living. And they said they didn't feel like they could pray honestly. I said, well, what you can honestly pray is that, please help me to bend my will to yours. If you don't feel like praying, pray that you'll feel like praying. Pray that you will feel like and want to have a desire to do God's will. You know, prayer's function is not something that we just do it when we feel like it. A lot of times we need to really pray when we don't, especially when we don't feel like it. We need to pray, and we see that Moses, he's not concerned about himself. He's concerned about God's will and God's glory and not his own. Moses also prayed from a holy life. Exodus 32, verse 32, "But now if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book which you have written." What I mean by holy life is when Moses says that he's written in the book, he's assuming that he's in that good relationship with God, that he's written in the book, and if necessary, you know, blot me out of it. So what we see is that Moses' prayer here stems from a life of holiness and a life of trying to serve God. Certainly we know that Moses was not sinless. We all know that. But what we see is that he has this relationship with God upon which he can go to God in prayer. You know, at the time when Moses goes to God and makes this request that's based around what had happened with the golden calf, wouldn't have been a great time for Aaron to have prayed that prayer because he is involved in that sin. But, you know, but Aaron certainly needed to do some praying. But what we see is Moses here is praying from the standpoint of he's trying to live a life of holiness and he doesn't want Israel to be involved in this sin. And I'm certainly not saying or assuming or suggesting that we have to be perfect to pray, because confession is always part of our prayer, or should be. In fact, you know, that's one of the things that we're told to do in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous or just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Luke chapter 18, we read about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the tax collector, it says, he stood afar off and was unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said he was the one that went away justified. So confession is part of something that we pray, and it should always be part of our prayers. But as Seth read for us this morning, I think this was Seth's first time reading, and I was very glad to see him up here doing that. He did a good job. But if you paid attention to what he was reading, Isaiah chapter 59, that passage talks about sin separating us from God. And so if we have a heart of rebellion and we're not really trying to serve God, then there's a wall, there's a separation there. And so we need to recognize that when we're harboring sin in our hearts, you know, our prayers aren't really going very high if we're living a life of rebellion. So Moses is praying from a life of holiness, or a life from someone who is really striving to serve God to the best of his ability. We also see that Moses prayed based on God's Word. He prayed based on God's Word. When Moses prayed, he prayed with faith that God would grant his request, because he knew that there were some promises that were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He refers back to those things. He quotes those things. And so when he prays that God is going to keep his promises, he knows what the promises are. And specifically those that were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to the 12 sons of Jacob. And those things would not have it would not have been possible for those things to have been fulfilled if all of those sons of Jacob or descendants of Jacob were wiped out and started over with Moses. So Moses' prayer was really based, in fact, it was based upon God's Word. In Numbers chapter 14, in verse 17, it says, "But now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations." And so we see that Moses here is making these requests following what had happened with the golden calf. And it's a request that's grounded in God's Word. So when we pray, what do we pray for? Do we consider God's Word when we pray? Certainly we don't need to quote Scripture to God, but we need to keep God's Word in our minds and in our hearts as we pray, and they would be much more effective if we would actually, pray in accordance with the Scriptures, in accordance with God's will. We also see Moses' life was one that had a priority based on prayer. He prayed as one that considered that a priority. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 18, "But I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." Also in verse 25 of Deuteronomy 9, "I fell down before the Lord 40 days and nights, which I did because the Lord had said he would destroy you." And so here is Moses fervently praying. And so he's recounting these situations that we've already talked about, where the children of Israel showed their unbelief with the golden calf and by not entering the land. And he's recounting these things, and he said during those times he neither ate bread nor drank water. So what does that mean? That these prayers were so important for him or to him that he neither ate nor drank during that time. It's not possible for a man to survive 40 days without drinking anything, so I believe that God sustained him. But the point remains the same, that these prayers were so important to Moses that he placed them above everything, above even eating and drinking. So, one question we could ask ourselves, are there ever any circumstances for us in which, where prayer is that important? Would we ever forgo, our basic necessities, even eating and drinking, in order to pray? Fasting is something that's often mentioned in relation to prayer in the Scriptures. But the principle here is pretty clear, that for prayer to be successful, it needs to be a priority, not just an afterthought. And we also see, based on this example here, that Moses prayed persistently. When you see that he's fasting and praying, he's doing this for 40 days. And what we see in the prayers that we've already looked at, or the little snippets of the prayer that we've seen, it doesn't seem like those prayers would take 40 days, does it? The request that he's making on behalf of the people. You think Moses repeated himself a little bit? That Moses is summarizing this 40-day prayer? For 40 days, what I'm saying is I think Moses basically probably prayed the same thing a lot, over and over again. Maybe he worded it in different ways. Maybe he took different approaches. But basically what he's praying is, please forgive these obstinate and stubborn people, over and over. So the question is there anything so important to us that we would pray like that? And I imagine that you're probably thinking that you've had cases in your life where there have been things like that. It may have been because of illness, your own illness or someone else's. It may be because of an unfaithful family member. It may be because of something else that's heavy on your heart that you have to continue to pray about it. What we see with Moses is that this was something that was heavy on his heart, so much so that he is praying continuously about it. And you know, from time to time in congregations when there is a special need, maybe it's something that is happening in the world, or it's something that's happening in the country, or maybe it's a need that's local to that congregation, and the congregation will call a special prayer meeting, and different people will pray on behalf of that situation or whatever that particular cause is. And sometimes you will hear people complain that this is too repetitive. And, you know, maybe that's true, that sometimes people do tend to say the same thing. But think about what Moses did here. Sometimes being repetitive is not a bad thing. Some things are so important that they need to be persistently asked for and persistently repeated in prayer. I don't know what would have happened if Moses had quit praying on day 39. But, you know, God responded after the 40 days in these instances. So the point is, don't be concerned about being repetitive. Be repetitive. And Moses was certainly one that we can see an example of him being persistent in prayer for these obstinate and unfaithful people. You know, when we look at the life of Moses, this is really one of the things that stands out to me, is that these people didn't deserve the kind of leader that they had. That Moses went to bat for them. He's going to lay down his life for them if God would have accepted that offer. And of course, we can make the parallel, you know, leap to the life of Christ and who we are and how we don't deserve Him. But He has laid down His life for us because we're a sinful and obstinate people. But we have somebody that will go to bat for us. We have somebody that will intercede for us, just as Moses interceded for the people of Israel. So what I want you to gather from this lesson and take from this lesson is that Moses spent a lot of time in prayer, and he was very specific in his prayer. And, you know, none of this you could say is easy to apply. It takes a great deal of work and discipline, and we need to spend more time in prayer. And I'm convinced if we'll pray in the same way that Moses does or did, we'll pray according to God's will, and we'll pray from an attitude of not selfishness, not about being self-centered in what I will get out of it, but being concerned about what God's will is, then that's a very good thing that we can learn from the life of Moses. Hope this will be useful to you and will help you to be stronger in your prayer life and bring you closer to Jesus Christ, who is a great intercessor for you. If we can help you anyway, be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.